As you all know, our theme this semester has been refresh, and it's really focusing on key elements of our Christian life and what we want to emphasize here at Bob Jones University. And this week is on friendships. And I couldn't have thought of a better person to come and speak on being a friend than Dr. Rand Hummel. Rand has been working for the Wilds organization since Noah came off the ark. And he is now the current director of the Wilds of New England. And Rand and I have been friends now for probably 40 years. I don't know of anybody who's been more of an encouragement than Rand Hummel. And I thought, boy, let's get him down here and just challenge our hearts on what it means to be a good friend. So let's give Dr. Rand Hummel a warm welcome here to Bob Jones University.
All right, point to one of your best friends in the room. Go. Point to one of your best friends in the whole room. Sweet. You know, probably one of the best ways to find lifelong, strong, good friendships is working at a camp in the summer. And I know a really cool one up in New Hampshire, okay? And we're actually here. We're kind of like freshman girls in a way because we need a couple guys. We're praying for a couple good-looking, godly, spiritual guys. Okay, we'll leave it there. No one wants to be hated. No one wants to be rejected. No one wants to be the one that is not invited to that party. Everybody loves to be loved. Everybody likes to be liked. Everybody wants a friend. And friendship is part of our society. I mean, for you guys, it's like, you got a friend in me. Okay? And for these old guys back here, it was friends of friends forever. You know, so it's just different seasons of life. We even have songs written about friendships, okay? And being a friend, probably one of the coolest songs about friendship. You know it. It's an old song. What a friend we have in Jesus. And when you are a true friend with somebody, you don't want to do anything to disappoint that person, yeah? And there's good friendships, but we also understand that there's some friendships that are not good for us. Turn your Bible real quickly to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's a great passage of Scripture. And to verse 12, yea, and all that will or desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You say, well, Rand, what does that have to do with friendships, okay? The purpose for persecution during the early church was for those who hated God to try to pressure those who loved God, the godly, into turning their backs away from God. And they would do everything they could to try to get them to reject Christ, to deny Christ. It was the purpose of persecution. It put on an awful lot of pressure. Today, at this point, probably it'll come before you guys even get very old. But at this point, we don't have a lot of like persecution in this country. But there's something else that has the same purpose, and it's called peer pressure. And it's pressure from your peers to get you to start loving yourself more than loving God. And they'll do what they can. So, of course, you know my life is teens, and it's been for many years. Here's a couple notes from some kids. A girl writes, she said, when I was 15, I lost my most precious gift that I had, speaking of her virginity, to a football player I didn't even know. My best friend had set us up. She told me later she had lost hers to the very same guy. I know it was wrong, but I went ahead and did it anyway. I want to be happy. I want to be loved. But I'm so miserable because of what I've done. Why did my friend get me into it? Here's another note. Rand, there's something you've got to know. The past year has not been too easy for me. Somehow I got mixed up with the wrong friends. They were always partying. First it was drink, and that led to pot. It was awful. My friend said that by getting high, my problems would go away. Well, that really wasn't true at all. I realize that now. And I feel so ashamed for what I did because I knew it was wrong, but I did it anyway. One of my closest friends shot herself in the stomach with a .22. Luckily, she lived, but it seemed like everybody was yelling at me. No one cared, so I took a razor blade to my wrist. After that, I realized I really don't want to die. I just guess I wanted somebody to know how I was feeling. Another girl came to me and she said, we moved when I was 14. And I didn't want to move. I had to leave all my friends. And we had not been where we moved to, but just a couple weeks, and a new family moved up the street. And so I went and introduced myself, and they had a girl my age. And she wasn't a Christian, but she kind of accepted me for who I was. And we started hanging together, and then we started spending more time together, and she would have a lot of parties. She drank a lot, and I didn't want to lose her as a friend, so I pretended that I drank. I just hold the beer in my hand. But one night, I don't know, I just started drinking, kept drinking. And I drank so much, I really did. I lost my mind and slept with three of those guys. And now I just want to die. You see, you can have good friends and you can have bad friends. And God very wisely asked Paul to write some notes for us on the kind of individuals that we would love to see come to Christ, know Christ, but don't know Christ. Because as you see in verse 1 of the same chapter, this know also that we live in some very difficult, perilous times. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. In other words, when we love ourselves more than we love our God and more than we love others, the Shema, we're headed for ruin. And then look closely at the text. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Do you see what it says next? From such, turn away. Avoid such people. There's a verse a little farther down, verse 6. Of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive, silly, unthinking, women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. So sometimes we need to step back and think, okay, who are the individuals? Who, if you want to take one word out of here, who are the creeps that are trying to pull me away from God? Who are the ones that if I spend a lot of time with them, even talking about God or talking about what I got from my devotions, they don't even like it. It kind of interrupts their time in the media or their video game time. And so they'd rather actually me not be around. Who are these guys? And then we get a description. They're lovers of their own selves. Self-love is a deadly sin. And when it grips the heart, because you have to understand, whenever love for self is raised, then your love for God and others is lowered. Okay? Girls, if a guy tries to talk you into a physical relationship, and he uses the thing, but I love you. No, he doesn't. How do I know? Because if you really, really love somebody, you will never, never, ever do anything to hurt that person. And they're not going to draw you farther away from God. They're going to draw you to God. Covetous, lovers of money, stuff. How can I make more money? What can I do in life just to get more stuff that'll need to be upgraded or go out of style or end up in the dump somewhere? Boasters, who are these guys? It's an outward manifestation of self-love. Can be arrogant. Plato said, a person who claims greatness that he does not possess. The boasters always kind of exaggerate their abilities. They're normally the heroes of all their own stories. Kind of goes along with the proud, the arrogant, placing himself above others. Actually, the proud, the arrogant, there's like such a, I don't know, a contempt for other people that it's often, how can I use them to just get what I want? Blasphemers. They're revilers, they're hateful, abusive with what they talk about. How about despisers of those that are good? How many of you went to Christian school? Let me see your hands high, okay? How many went to public school? Homeschool? Quit school? I got to ask, why is it that even in like Christian schools, maybe I assume here, I don't know, I shouldn't, Why is it that those who really, they get excited about being in the Word of God and what they get from the books? Guys, let me tell you what God taught me today. And it's almost like, ooh, let's kind of stay away from that. That's sad. I was preaching at the Wilds in North Carolina, senior trip. And I'd befriended one of the kids. He was a senior. I'd ask him on the hike, hey, how long you been saved? He said, I'm not. I said, really? Well, tell me about it. Tough home. And we talked, became friends. I remember the last night at camp I was preaching. He sat right over here on my left. And while I was preaching, when I got to the end, I explained the gospel well. And I said, how many of you would love to trust Christ as your Savior? He shot his hand up. I said, yes. And then I gave an opportunity for them to go with their sponsors from their school and just pray about this and talk in private. And when he stood up, the guy from his class next to him looked up at him. He reached up and grabbed his shoulder and pushed him back down. The kid looked at me, looked at his friend, he looked at me. He looked at the floor. He didn't trust Christ that night. I hope he did since. He said, Rand, I would never grab someone and push him back down. But do you make fun of somebody that wants to do what is right? Disobedient to parents, I hope you respect your mom and dad. How about the next one, without natural affection? Did you know abortion is a mother's unnatural lack of love for her baby? Did you know abuse is a parent's unnatural lack of love for their kids? And you know what rebellion is, disobedience? It's actually an unnatural love for parents. Yeah. Unthankful. It's sad that we live in a world where we expect everything to be given to us and think we actually deserve more. I love working at camp. I love doing the zip line. I was told I'm not allowed to say wait when I send them off. So I'm like, wait! I'm not allowed to say that, okay? It scares people. But every once in a while, you suit them up. And every once in a while, somebody will go, thank you. And I go, excuse me? He said, thank you. You're thanking me for, yeah. Well, thank you for saying thank you. And then they say, well, thank you for saying thank you for saying thank you. And it goes on all week. Do you know what unholy is, the next one? An unholy friend carries the idea of gross indecency. Unholy person is driven by self-love to gratify his own lusts and passions, whatever sort, with no thought of decency at all. Truce breakers, can't trust them. It's the dad that leaves his kids. The mom that cheats on her husband. I mean, I talk kids all the time. Who get promises of their parents that are broken. False accusers, this is gossip. Malicious. And why is it we only gossip about, like, things that, did you hear what they did? Why don't we do good gossip? Like, do you know that guy down there at Bob Jones University? I think his name is Steve Pettit. You ever hear him? You know what I heard he did last week? This is true. He prayed every single day. And he read his Bible. Could you believe that guy? How come we never gossip about good things, okay? But man, it's juicy to cut other people down. I remember many kids come to me who get saved a little bit later in their teenage life in our Christian schools. And they'll come to me and go, Rand, you know, God forgave me. And then friends in school find out what I did in the past. And they think it's a big joke to send it and tell everybody else. Incontinent, no self-control. Porn addicts are incontinent. Only arrogant men get addicted to porn because they love themselves more than they love their God or others. Fierce, brutal, savage, traitors, treacherous, heady, is careless, negligent, rash, so preoccupied with self they don't care about anybody else. High-minded, conceited, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. It comes from the word loving and the word hedonism. You can figure that one out, okay? So God kind of gives us a list of the kind of friends to avoid. So I have two questions. Who are these creeps that do everything they can to keep you from being close to God? Who are you dating? Who are you hanging out with? Who is it that you have to constantly either be embarrassed or take a stand? Just be careful, guys. Be careful. Learn these three words when we live in a yucky world that's trying to get you into sin. no thank you. Say it with me. No thank you. Somebody offers you a beer, don't just say no. No.
Oh, you think you're better than us?
Hey, you want a beer? No. Oh, you get in trouble? In both ways, you're like out of control and defensive. Hey, you want a beer? No, thank you. Are you sure? No, thank you. I'm good. Really? Yeah. No, thank you.
You're still in control.
And if they really push you for it, then you can tell them. I said, yeah, I'll say no, thank you. I was raised by a granddad who's an alcoholic, and I'll tell you stories that are really sad. No, thank you. But then it says, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We're still talking about the wrong kind of friends. How do you know somebody is a phony? How do you know if you have a roommate or somebody in your hall that is a little bit pharisaical? They look good. They sometimes smell good. They act pretty good. How do you tell? Well, they seem to have all the right answers. They agree with everything that's going on. I'm very careful not to defy anything, get in trouble. Although they do like to defy authority, at least secretly. Put themselves in the same level as authority. They know a little bit better how to do everything, no matter if it's just a manager or whatever. They resist the truth. You can tell by watching someone in class and in church, whether they're listening or not. They have corrupt minds. And only you know that in your own hearts, of course. And they're deceived. It's kind of sad. So when we look at this picture, how do you avoid wrong friends? And it's actually really, really simple. Live godly. If you live godly, you never have to separate from others, because they will separate from you. Even Joseph couldn't eat with the Egyptians. They separated from him because of certain policies and cultural items they had. Live a godly life. Talk about God. Share about the friends that you've been witnessing to. Tell them the three things that you recently learned about God. You talk about God, and it'll be amazing how the ungodly will not want to be around you, okay? Now, talking about God is still a great way to witness, even to those who don't know the Lord. And I know this is like kind of a negative message, and that's not my normal thing. But when Paul said, if you live godly, you'll suffer persecution, the Jews took counsel to kill him. They kicked him out of their coast. They stoned him. They thought he was dead. They bound him in chains. They put him in prison. He was robbed, beaten, stoned. Whoa. Just because he had a real close, special friend named Jesus. So my question is, when we would sing, what a friend we have in Jesus, what would it take, what kind of peer pressure to turn our backs on our best friend? I want to close with this, because I get kind of scared for you guys. In the world that we live, it just seems like, I know it's not falling apart, it's falling in place. I understand all that. But in some ways, it's a tough world. But we do live in America. You could be like this teenager lives in Pakistan. Anila met Pervin at school. As their friendship grew, Anila gave Pervin a Bible and taught her Christian songs. Pervin quickly learned Christian songs and began to teach them to her younger sister when her parents weren't home. Pervin's parents soon learned of the songs, and being strict Muslims, they were not really happy about this. But rather than confronting Pervin right away, they had their younger sister try to find out where she was getting this Christian influence. Anil eventually invited Pervin to a Good Friday service. When the young Muslim heard the gospel presentation, she immediately accepted Jesus. Pervin became very excited about her new relationship with Jesus and saw great changes take place in her life. She read her Bible, praised God boldly, but Anil knew before long her friend would encounter the opposition from her family. Pervin's parents were furious. They learned of her conversion and previously arranged for her to marry a guy. When Pervin refused, she ran away. When Pervin's parents could not find her, they accused Anil and her pastor of kidnapping her. And they had Nila arrested. Nila was slapped and beaten in front of her parents for over 9 hours. And finally, she was taken to prison. I know his pastor and his family were taken to prison also. Her pastor experienced horrible tortures in jail. She also was whipped 16 times. When they were released, Anila could not sit for 2 months, and her pastor could barely walk because of all the bruises. Parveen was later found by her family in Muslim nations. Children are often severely beaten for converting to Christianity. Others are killed by their own parents or siblings for apostasy, converting to another faith. To restore the honor of the family, her brother stabbed her to death. He turned himself into local authorities and is not as uncommon. Eventually, he was released without incident. Just because she loved Jesus. And what does it take to pressure us even into talking in a way that's displeasing to God? They would go through this kind of stuff, and today all it takes for us is this. Watch me. And we freak out. One more story. She was 16. The communist soldiers, they found this illegal Bible study. And the pastor was reading from the Bible when men with guns suddenly broke into the home, terrorizing the believers who gathered there to worship. The communists shouted insults, threatened to kill the Christians. The leading officer pointed his gun at the pastor's head, said, "Hand me your Bible." Reluctantly, the pastor handed over his Bible, his prized possession. And with a sneer on his face, the guard threw the Word of God on the floor at his feet. He glared at the small congregation. "We will let you go," he growled. "But first, you must spit on this book of lies. And anyone who refuses will be shot." The believers had no choice but to obey the officer's order. A soldier pointed his gun at one of them. "You first." The man slowly got up and knelt down by the Bible, reluctantly spit on it, praying, "Father, please forgive me." He stood up and walked out the door. The soldier stood back, allowed him to go. "Okay, you," he said, nudging a woman forward. In tears, she could barely do what the soldier demanded. She spit only a little bit, but it was enough, and she was allowed to leave. Then a young girl, 16, came forward. Overcome with love for her Lord, she knelt down, picked up the Bible, and wiped off the spit on her dress. "What have they done to your word? Please forgive them." Communist soldier put his pistol to her head and then pulled the trigger. It used to be that these stories were like, are they really true? Daily, guys. Daily. If you can't say no to a wrong kind of friend, what are you going to do when you're pressured to deny your best friend? What a friend we have in Jesus. Stand for your God and let everybody in this world know it, okay? God bless you. You are dismissed.